The Air Raid of San Francisco, Tuesday, December 9th, 1942. From the Battle of Los Angeles by Terence Sword. San Francisco underwent two air raid alarms early the morning of December 9th, and the city was again plunged into almost total darkness by an almost 100% effective blackout. In Oakland, an alarm was sounded at 1:44 a.m. Army planes were thought to have hurtled into the skies at the first alarm warning. That warning, a yellow alert, signifying the presence of unidentified planes in the region, came at 1:45 a.m. 5 minutes later, the all-clear signal was sounded at 1:50 a.m. Station KFRC San Francisco said that at 1:51 a.m. on Tuesday, December 9, 1941, the Federal Communications Commission said the station had been ordered off the air by the War Department because of, quote, enemy action off the coast, end quote. Quote, the planes are heading toward shore, and so far as we know, they're still coming. This according to an Army spokesman after the alarm had been sounded. At 1:59 a.m., it was reported that unidentified planes had been detected approaching the coast. A second alarm came at 2:02 a.m. This alarm eliminated the preliminary yellow alert and appeared as a blue signal, indicating the approach of enemy planes. The alarm continued for 1 hour in San Francisco and prevailed for a similar period throughout the Bay region. A blackout was then ordered at 2:31 a.m. Almost immediately, the roar of planes were heard, particularly in Marin County, in Berkeley, and in San Francisco. This blackout covered the entire Bay Area, including Oakland and Berkeley, and extended as far as Sacramento and other Central California points. Sirens warned of the danger of possible bombing. San Francisco's Ferry Building siren and the sirens of police cars throughout the city joined in. Searchlights pierced the sky from Fort Baker, Fort Barry, and on the waterfront between Oakland and Berkeley. Alcatraz Prison underwent a complete blackout. Windows were reported broken along Powell Street and Market Street by persons seeking to get at switches in stores where lights burned during the blackout. The blackout during the second air raid alarm was remarkably thorough in San Francisco and Oakland, although in several districts, store and building lights remained on. The air raid alarm was general throughout Northern California, and from Bakersfield to the Oregon line, communities went into an eclipse that lasted about an hour. Difficulty in extinguishing lights of the Oakland port of embarkation on the Oakland shoreline, because of some hitch in operating the switchboard controlling the pier lights, was solved when members of the Home Guard patrolling the nearby Bay Bridge pot-shotted them out with their rifles. Army Command later ordered a complete blackout of the city of Sacramento. The order for citizens to turn out all lights was broadcast over Sacramento radio stations. The Sacramento blackout was ordered at 2:10 a.m. by Colonel John Clark, commandant at McClellan Field, the huge Army Air Corps repair base. The Mare Island Navy Yard at Vallejo was also completely blacked out. Military and federal authorities fully confirmed the attempted invasion by air, which took place on that Monday night. Enemy planes had approached close to the Golden Gate. Several minutes after the air raid warning was given, one Army authority said that it had been authenticated that enemy planes were indeed off the coast, but he said he had no further information. This source said later in his information, quote, placed the raiders close to or over the Golden Gate. He said, quote, a general blackout of all Army airfields in California had been ordered. Reports of dogfights proved to be without foundation, and at 3:30 a.m., the all-clear signal was sounded throughout the streets. The Army later said there was a possibility that Navy planes approaching the coast on patrol had caused the alarm. But Brigadier General William Ord Ryan of the 4th Interceptor Command, who earlier in the evening had reported the first apparent attempt by enemy planes to bomb the U.S. mainland, said, quote, the controller at the border of the command detected planes about which we knew nothing. We had been informed there were no friendly planes in the air, so the alert was flashed to police according to the arrangement with the Civilian Defense Council. We are supposed to know every friendly plane in the air and its exact location. General Ryan repeated earlier declarations that his command had not sounded any alert or warning signals for practice drills. Quote, we are sounding warnings when the detection signals on our control board call for them. Our responsibility is to notify the San Francisco Police Department that enemy aircraft have been sighted in the vicinity and that a blackout should be established. The exact extent of the search being made for those suspected Japanese forces believed close to the West Coast was not announced. The 2nd Interceptor Command sent out planes soaring out over the North Pacific, and American planes from the area were still searching for the enemy. The Army announced the possibility of an air attack is still present. The 4th Army Interceptor Command, whose headquarters were at the Presidio in San Francisco, announced that the first Japanese invaders had flown between the huge Mare Island Naval Base and San Jose. At 4:50 a.m., another preliminary precaution signal was flashed to police headquarters of the Bay Area from the 4th Interceptor Command base at the Presidio. All radio stations of the Bay Area were ordered off the air again early that morning as the third air raid warning forced the Bay region into yet another general blackout. Armed forces patrolled San Francisco and the Bay Area that night, on land, on sea, and in the air, constantly alert for more warnings of another enemy invasion attempt. The harbor area, which is dotted with oil tanks and shipyards, had been blacked out after 4 a.m. The first air invasion of the war that came Monday night and was thought to be caused by a large squadron of Japanese bombers brought no damage, but it left San Francisco's nerves taut and the city better prepared. The confusion that resulted with the first air alarms and the failure of the city to be blacked out brought sharp criticism from the Army and city government heads. Chief of Police Dulles called his captains and department heads to a meeting and announced a police plan to protect the city. At once, officers began drafting air raid wardens to serve in each of the city's 3,500 residential and business blocks. These wardens would in turn secure two or three aides to work with them. Mayor Rossi of San Francisco made a special announcement, in which he said, "The seriousness of the emergency convinces me of the need for more thorough control of lights. Large neon signs glowed over the city and could be detected through a light haze." Early the next morning, Mayor Rossi announced that all neon signs would be banned after dusk. He also said that he would issue further drastic orders. These included all entrance lights off, gasoline stations dark, store windows must be darkened, all manually operated electric signs must be turned off at night. General John L. DeWitt issued a warning to residents to put up blackout curtains. Many motorists had placed blue cellophane over their headlights. However, all headlights had to be turned off completely. Having blue cellophane over them did not permit their operation during an alarm. During this first air raid alarm, radio stations were off the air for more than 11 hours. The alarms were accompanied by reports that half-dozen flares had been dropped over the city in one in Marin County, presumably from enemy planes. The Armor Interceptor Command said no information was available concerning the flares, but it reported that it was unlikely that they had been dropped from U.S. airplanes. Observers on Twin Peaks and on roofs of various buildings saw the flares emerge from the night sky at a great distance and descend slowly to earth. Police of Northern Station said they had received several reports concerning the flares. One man said that he had seen a flare float to the ground at McAllister Street and Van Ness Avenue. The observers on Twin Peaks said five distinct flares were clearly visible, three to the north and two to the south. A checkup disclosed that two supposed flares were in reality blue flames shooting from trolley wires when power was suddenly cut during the blackout. Marin County authorities said several reports were received that a flare had fallen near Greenbrae. A complete mobilization of the Red Cross Disaster Relief Commission was ordered. All members were to be on call at all times, and all persons possessing knowledge of first air aid, first aid, and in particular, registered nurses and former nurses were asked to register for active duty. Headquarters for the Red Cross were at 1126 Eddy Street. Armed guards have been placed on 24-hour duty at all bridges, tunnels, shops, and roadhouses of railroads. The Navy Hydrographic Office in Washington announced that navigation lights on coasts may be extinguished and radio beacons discontinued without advance notice. Air raid warnings continued in scattered sections of the state. Schools in Sonoma County were closed when strange planes were reported overhead. An explicit warning came from defense authorities, quote, "Be calm, enroll for volunteer service, do not duplicate defense efforts, be tolerant, particularly with Japanese Americans, and contact your defense counsel for further information." People were warned to stay off the streets in a raid. Chief of the State Highway Patrol E. Raymond Cahoe appealed to motorists to remain off highways as much as possible at night. The state's 740 highway patrolmen went on 12-hour shifts, and military and naval areas were surrounded by large armed forces in full war equipment. Under orders, the great bridges would be in total darkness at the first alarm, and traffic would be stopped entirely if the danger was believed imminent. Warning that death and destruction may come to San Francisco at any hour, Lieutenant General John L. DeWitt told the city that its first blackout had been completely ineffective and denounced as, quote, inane, idiotic, and foolish. And those who refused to believe the danger was real were ridiculed. You people do not seem to realize that we are at war, said the commander of the 4th Army. So let me get this straight to you. Last night there were planes over this community. They were enemy planes. I mean Japanese planes. And they were tracked out to sea. You think it was a hoax? It's damn nonsense for sensible people to assume that the Army and Navy would practice such a hoax on San Francisco. We will never darken this community nor sound an alert unless enemy planes are threatening. When you hear that signal, you turn out your lights. Got it? General DeWitt, with Brigadier Generals William O. Ryan and J. L. Benedict, and Admiral J. R. Preenslade, commander of the 12th Naval District, met with San Francisco Mayor Rossi and civic leaders at City Hall to plan more effective blackout systems. The Bay Area awakened from its first alarm-ridden night of the war the following Tuesday to discover a list of 3 deaths and many injuries resulting from the blackouts. Cars driven with headlights dimmed or entirely out were unusually careful in San Francisco, for only 8 minor accidents were reported here. From 20 to 25 crashes were the average number. In the East Bay, there were several serious crashes. A taxi driver, Edward Curtis Frank, age 39, and a woman, Florence T. Bryant, age 39, died near the Naval Air Station in Alameda after their cars crashed head-on. The Bay Area's first blackout deaths came shortly after the collision near Gate 1 of the Naval Air Station at 2:30 a.m. A seaman, E.F.T. Swillow, attached to the station, who was a passenger in the taxi, was critically injured with a possible skull fracture. He was taken to Maury Island Hospital, and the woman had just left the seaman cook, James H. Kaysen, at the station and had turned her car around when the crash occurred. Fog did contribute to the accident. Mrs. Ann Stewart, age 23, hysterical over San Francisco's eerie plunge into darkness, fell to her death from a hotel window, and according to the coroner's office, she became excited by the air raid alarm, rushed to her window to watch for planes, and slipped over the ledge and plunged 7 stories down.